Blog Talk Radio.
And hey everybody, welcome to the Night Zone. Tonight we had scheduled Mr. Tim McHyde of BibleProphecies.com, but unfortunately Mr. Hyde has come down with a terrible winter cold. So in his place, we bring you John Hogue and Prophecies 2009.
The dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled around the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight?
Welcome to the shadows
of the Night Zone.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to
the Night Zone.
There is nothing wrong with your computer. There is nothing wrong with your audio
or your video.
We are controlling the transmission.
The next hour,
and we will control all that is here. Let me repeat, there is nothing wrong with your computer. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind. The Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information. The Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or hosts. We remind all of our listeners, KV at MTOR. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
Paranormal events are not a modern phenomenon. They are mentioned in academic texts throughout history, dating back to very origins of mankind. The majority of religions from around the world have wrapped themselves in this divine return of godlike beings based upon scattered, written word. The Sumerians write of the return of godlike creatures known as the Anunnaki. These were the angels who descended to earth and bred with the daughters of men to form a workforce, a slave world, for the Anunnaki's needs. UFO sightings and paranormal events are reported throughout the world on a regular basis.
The Night Zone
and a number of its affiliate stations and websites will make every effort to bring whatever information is possible available to you.
Caveat Emptor.
2012 is speculated to be the end of the world based on the Mayan calendar and other sources. If you are worried or unsure about it, then some uncommon sense, along with a literal Bible prophecy breakthrough, may help. Find out what kind of a year 2012 will be, normal or prophetic, with Tim McHyde in the Night Zone, coming February. Watch for the listings tonight in the shadows of the Night Zone. John Hogue of HogueProphecy.com returns with predictions 2009 from HogueProphecy.com. Net, due to airtime scheduling conflicts, this show has been pre-taped. Please do not call. This show was recorded live.
The Aquarian Age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean Age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
We're in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or hosts. We remind all of our listeners, KV at MTOR. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to the Night Zone. What a crazy day. You know, John Hogue has told me it is the age of Aquarius, and I'm an Aquarian, and my day seems to be speeding up at an incredible rate. I am sure it's the same amount of hours, but my goodness, the older I get, the faster it seems to happen. I have with me tonight John Hogue from HogueProphecies.com. Mayan.com. He's bringing his latest visionary masterpiece of predictions to the Night Zone. I believe it's called Predictions 2009, John. Hot off the presses. Good evening, sir.
Yes, it's Predictions for 2009, and yes, we just put it up, posted it on HogueProphecy.com just on February 1st.
Absolutely fantastic.
Every Chinese New Year.
Absolutely fantastic. John, I got the pre-warning of the book, and I was right there, and I took it... I took it to bed with me last night. My printer, I think, died on me because I didn't get it all, but that's okay because I only got through about 8 or 9 pages. But I'll tell you, I don't know what it is about your writing, and I'm not blowing smoke, sir, but you have me riveted from the very opening sentence. It's amazing.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Colin. This book was a very strange process of giving birth to it. It's book number 15, and the way things worked out is I literally had to write it, conceive it, design it, and finish it in less than a month, a 33,000-word book. So I was hoping it would read well. Sometimes when you get into a situation like that where you have to just leap and let go, sometimes it can actually make things better.
Well, I think sometimes, John, with the style that you write, you take us into the process, not just the, you don't just go, there's going to be a blue moon on Sunday. You take us into the process of how you got to where you were going with that thought process. And I think by leading the reader in that direction, I think it's a, you and the other writer is Chris Hawley, who writes for Alien Seeker News and UFO Digest. She has a style that just draws you into the story, and I must admit it captivates me.
Well, I'm glad. I often feel like whenever I write a book, I'm having a conversation with just the reader who's reading it. It might be millions of readers, but I feel I almost see the reader's heart, feel it, and just I confess to the reader as if it's just two human beings and I have something to tell the other. And I try to write about sometimes very complicated things through my heart and through a conversational kind of language.
I detected that from your writing that, you know, we all have probably the same reply. If you can affect one person, if that one person pays attention and pays heed and does well because of that, then you have succeeded in your drive. But you multiply that by billions, and the impact is pretty striking. I got to tell you, on the intro, we use your age of the Aquarian age statements from the first show you did with us. That was up on the front end there, because it is just so perfect for where we are heading as a species. You said to me just before we went to air, you were rushing, I was rushing, you know, people were falling down, almost having heart attacks because we weren't going to air. And this is to tape, but it is still broadcast there that we're using. And what a crazy world, John. It seems to be just all over the place.
It was a very, at least today especially, was just crazy. I feel better now to hear that you also had a crazy day because, I don't know if it happened for you, but the craziness was about communication.
Yeah, very much so.
And, you know, I'm supposed to go off to this, to the Conscious Life Expo down in L.A. Next week, and the ticket person didn't actually get in touch with me until now, and they didn't actually get the tickets right, so I was like back
oh, Lord.
With that, so I realized, oh my goodness, I have the radio show today.
Oh, good Lord. As if that wasn't enough, then you had this crazy Englishman asking you some pretty bizarre questions, because I'm still trying to come up to speed with the whole mass of things, John, and I must admit at times it's more than I can chew, and I have to step back and absorb it, if you will. Your book is a prime example. I barely got through Nostradamus and the Antichrist codename Mabus. I barely got through that, and it took me a week because I needed to absorb it.
Yeah, it's I try to incorporate my style. I sometimes feel is rather dense with gravitas sometimes, and it just needs time to sample. And that book was especially intense. I think that's one of the things I love about writing is that these books are like they're like children. They're always a big surprise how you rear them into life, and they always have their own voice, and that's kind of the excitement of it. I never know from conception to final product what kind of a book, what kind of a voice it has. It kind of holds me by the hand and tells me where it wants to go.
Do you ever go back to your writings and read it and understand what it was trying to tell you?
Well, yes, and what I find rather shattering and shocking and humbling is I'll go back to read a book I wrote and I will go, but did I write this?
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like there's a certain let go into a mediumistic phase, even though it's not like I'm sitting here like on a brass tripod playing the Delphic Oracle, but it's sort of, and just babbling something out, it's sort of, you know, it has all the objective energies required for editing, rewriting, and all that process is there, very objective, even though it's the subjectivity of the theme coming forth. But if I go back to any of my books and I read them, it's like I'm the first time I've ever read this book, you know.
Yeah.
And it sometimes amazes me what the capacity the human being has to be a vehicle for existence.
An incredible vessel.
Everyone on this planet can be a vehicle for this existence.
Yeah, I think so. Before we get into your most recent work, which is The Prophecies or Predictions for 2009. I just wanted to take a brief look back at 2008 because this fascinates me, John. Your predictions were, these were published January 2008, that there would be a superstorm, drastic weather changes. I mean, we never figured that out in January 2008, and yet it happened.
Well, yes, and then the tornadic things I predicted happened, I said that this would be the next damaging hurricane series season since Katrina, and unfortunately Galveston was flattened and Houston was heavily visited by Hurricane Ike, and the fires. You know, when I went back and assessed the book, I was shocked to see how much I had gotten correct. And so when we're vehicles, I think there's all kinds of miraculous things that can come through us when we step out of our own way. And it doesn't need to be a book. It can just simply be tending a garden or building a house or hugging a child or writing a book. Or it seems that we can be vehicles for something miraculous.
Yeah. What amazed me was your prediction in January 2008 that Al-Qaeda would have some form of an attack in India, and it would come from Pakistan and blah, 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 blah. And here comes the Mumbai attack.
And you know, when I see those attacks happen, it's often a shock to see, oh, my God, that happened, you know, or some of the things that happened even for the newest book, Predictions for 2009, I had this, I thought there were at least three black African-American candidates and about half a dozen white American, Caucasian-American candidates that were vying to be the Republican chairman and for the Republican Party. And I very, very clearly saw Steele, African-American out of the three, being that person.
Wow.
I just said I predict in the chapter about the future of the GOP, I said I predict there will be an African-American running as chairman of the Republican Party as they're beginning to attempt to try to rebuild their party. And, you know, some of these things, what I usually do is I take these books and then I seal them up and document them so that, in the publication date, it says the 24th of January. Well, I also date and hide away each chapter so that, you know, because some things start happening as I'm speaking, even, and so this was one that actually took place several days after publication, and it's a mystery how it works, because
are your ebooks like a living document then, John, or once you have written it that is it? It is not updated or changed.
When it's written, the essence in the rough draft is that's it. And then the only thing I do is just clarify the sentences to make them professionally good sentences and make myself clear. But even if something happens while the book, before the book is published, I will not change it if it's wrong. That's the ethics that I must bring into this. And so it's almost like as I write this book, I usually start writing these yearly books in December and finish in up around mid-January. It was a little later this year, a little closer to the Chinese New Year of the 26th of January. I missed it by about 4 days late. But
however, you had a great deal of media pressure on you too, John. I mean, we were banging at your door, and you and I were trying to work out the second show. We'd already done the first, and Discovery Channel were trying to film you for a whole day. I mean, that must be pretty stressful in itself.
Yeah, fortunately, it was a very smooth film shoot, thank goodness, and it did happen Tuesday, and there's been a lot going on. On top of that, now being a blog writer, I'm trying to get my blogs down to several hundred words rather than 1,000 plus, but sometimes subjects require that. And, of course, the insatiable appetite of people who want to read blogs means that I'm writing about 1,000 words every other day on top of everything. So,
it's
a very, very busy time.
It is. It's a consuming technology. We're blogging all over the place, and every so often I get a quick synopsis of what we've been doing for the last 3 months. And it's amazing. I mean, the distance that we can travel through the internet now with the words that have to be said and have to be understood is astronomical in comparison to 20 years ago, 15 years ago.
And even 5 years ago, we truly are, as the main opening theme in predictions for 2009 is that this is the first year that, with unequivocally the first year, that we are now influenced a little more by the coming Aquarian Age than the Piscean Age. Before, for the last couple centuries, the Piscean Age is dominated, with the Aquarian Age slowly creeping up into our lives. But now, from this year onwards, the Piscean Age will truly be receding. That's why it started at the end of 2008, and that's why people picked up on the concept, the dream or idea collectively of change. Even people opposed to Barack Obama's presidency tried to factor themselves as change bringers. That is so Aquarian Age, because Uranus is the ruler, higher ruler of Aquarius, which is the ruler, the alchemist of change and chaos, and stars being born out of chaos. The Saturn, which is the lower ruler of Aquarius, was in retrograde during the elections of Obama, and there was a resistance to change. Now, Uranus was in retrograde during Obama's president's election, and now that's switched with Uranus moving forward. I did a whole chapter in the new book about how you can almost map the speed of change, for better or worse, that's now moving forward.
And I noticed you've gone to an e-book system on your website. Are the 2008 books, are they on the e-book system yet?
I have 5 e-books now, and the first was The Last Pope Revisited, which came out in early 2007. And that was updating some of the things I said in The Last Pope when it was a physical book back in 1998. I wanted to update it a bit so that it could be a factor in Benedict the 16th as the new pope, and how his name fits with Gloria Olivae, the last motto that St. Malachi used in his prophecies. That was followed by Nostradamus, The War with Iran, which looked at the possibilities of a war with Iran, either U.S.-related or Israeli-related. And that still has some merit as a potential future. The third book was 2008, and that's something I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Like Nostradamus did almanacs till the end of his life, I'm going to write every year with the Chinese New Year predictions for the next 12 lunar months. And So that was the next one. And then Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codenamed Mabus, is a book that I've been preparing to write for 25 years of sleuthing and detective work to find out who the third Antichrist candidate would be in our time.
And it is a detective story, I'll tell you that. The way you wrote it, it is, you know, Sam Spade would do well to star in this role.
Thank you. I like
that. It's a very good, very well written detective story. You said it. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought. I tell you what, John, while I have, because I'm getting all kind of flags and whistles and bells here, you know where we got to go, John. We'll be right back right after this, guys.
Paranormal events are not a modern phenomenon. They are mentioned in academic texts throughout history, dating back to very origins of mankind. The majority of religions from around the world have wrapped themselves in this divine return of godlike beings based upon scattered, written word. The Sumerians write of the return of godlike creatures known as the Anunnaki. These were the angels who descended to earth and bred with the daughters of man, to form a workforce, a slave world, for the Anunnaki's needs. UFO sightings and paranormal events are reported throughout the world on a regular basis.
The Night Zone
and a number of its affiliate stations and websites will make every effort to bring whatever information is possible available to you.
KVNMTO 2012 is speculated to be the end of the world based on the Mayan calendar and other sources. If you are worried or unsure about it, then some uncommon sense, along with a literal Bible prophecy breakthrough, may help. Find out what kind of a year 2012 will be, normal or prophetic, with Tim McHyde in the Night Zone, coming February. Watch for the listings tonight in the shadows of the Night Zone. John Hogue of HogueProphecy.com returns with Predictions 2009. From HogueProphecy.com, net. Due to airtime scheduling conflicts, this show has been pre-taped. Please do not call. This show was recorded live.
The Aquarian Age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean Age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
We're in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVNMTO, ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And we are back with John Hogue. Of course, John's no stranger to the shadow of the Night Zone, bringing his special understanding of future Earth changes based on quatrains of Nostradamus and what he has learned through Nostradamus and the teachings of Nostradamus. I must admit, John, I was pleasantly surprised when I went to your website and I found your ebook section. I think ebook is the wave of the future, but you probably already knew that, didn't you?
Well, it is the wave. I'm kind of at the beginning of the wave, so a lot of times I'll run into folks who will say, "Oh, well, that's nice, but can I read it as a print book?" And certainly I'm going to continue to do print books. I have a couple possible print books coming, but I felt that beyond just talking about the future, I think anyone that's involved in interpreting and even predicting the future should take a direct responsibility in changing themselves to flow with that future. The future that I wish to see fulfilled, rather than the apocalyptic one, is where we see this emergency of our climate and overpopulation and other issues in time to create a new and sustainable society. So in part of that, since I'm a writer, in the 10 books that I wrote in print, sacrificed a lot of trees to global warming. And so now I'm on a pact with myself to, with every one print book that I produce, I do four or five ebooks. And I also encourage people who come, who often complain, say, oh, why don't you put it as a print book? I'd say, let's let you, reader, be a part of this change and lower your carbon footprint by getting acquainted with reading books on a different medium than paper, but on your computer screen.
And maybe I could add to that for you, John. Maybe down the road you could most certainly speak the words, because there are a lot of people out there that would listen to your books while driving into work and out of work. So, I mean, there's a whole range of people yet to be touched with the.
I am actually going to convert all of my books eventually to audio for download.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be hopefully something that happens this year.
Absolutely. I think that would be absolutely fabulous, because it is the age of change, and the delivery of your information and the information of the Night Zone has to be on the cutting edge. We just went over to iPod and ISS and a few other ones. I forget the technical terms, but, you know, so the Night Zone now is downloadable into an iPod, and they can do it while they're running. Now, we never had that ability to touch a person before, since AM radio bit the biscuit, and that's been quite a few years. There are a few stations still pulling good numbers, but in general terms, the whole dynamics of our lifestyle is changing, and I think we have to embrace change. I think that's what the Age of Aquarius is about.
It is. It's basically one of the mottos in the new book is evolve or become extinct. And don't be overwhelmed or burdened with the need to evolve. Take it as a challenge. Take it as something to celebrate. It's exciting to change. It's only our projections that we place upon the unknown that makes it appear reflected as something dire and uncomfortable. But if one meditates on that phenomenon, that we always face the unknown with fear and uncertainty, the truth is, if you go deep into yourself and see where that fear and uncertainty is, it's rooted in your past, in what you think may happen in the future as happened in your past. But that is not exactly what the unknown is. Simply neutral. It is an open door. And one of the most important messages of the Aquarian Age is that people embrace the unknown and become intimate with its open door, and then enjoy breaking out of one's limits and finding new ways. One of the common themes that I see in 2009, even with people as gifted that have surrounded themselves around Obama to fix the economic crisis that's happening in the world, it will take about a year for them to understand that their ideas rooted in the past are not suited for this new Aquarian age of economy. And so the very best that can be hoped for is that the stimulus program that Obama is trying to create will stop the bleeding of the economy.
Right.
But the true revolutionary change for this economy is going to come from even those people who have gone up the hierarchy of thinking and learning to their high positions have to even abandon that, because genius is not rooted in your education. Genius is rooted in something deeper in us, a consciousness that can use the education to help. But dogma is something of the Piscean past. And
the idea that we can pour billions of dollars into an open wound, and the idea that it is going to heal itself, reminds me of giving a junkie heroin. They've already lost trillions of dollars through mismanagement, so let's give them another trillion or so.
And the people who are hired to do the fixing are the same people that caused the problem.
Exactly.
And Obama doesn't seem to understand this, but one thing that's good about Barack Obama, like President Lincoln, who he echoes karmically, he will learn from his mistakes, unlike many modern presidents of late. But it's going to be a year wasted in pulling past solutions to a future unique to our history. And the other thing, too, is the wound is not cut from the outside. It is boiling up from a systemic problem from the within. Mm-hmm. And it's the fundamentals have to be looked at. This is just trimming the bush. We need to cut the bush at its trunk. And the issue is that we have, over 50 years' time, evolved an economy that I call consumptive, like TB, trade bust. It's become diseased by a process that has made us, rather than seek the products that we need in our lives, the market now has conditioned people to want products they don't need.
A greed response. Yeah, a very greedy response.
Also,
I agree.
We've also overvalued ourselves, so that what really is going to happen by the end of this year is Obama may have to nationalize the banks, he may have to nationalize the automobile industry, and literally walk in for a time like Cincinnatus of our time. Cincinnatus was a Roman senator who was called upon by the Roman Republic to become dictator of Rome for 6 months because they couldn't sort things out with this invasion of a neighboring tribe coming to take Latium. He took on the role, had the autocratic powers to form an army. He defeated that enemy army in 2 weeks. He could have kept his dictatorship for another 6 months, but he decided the emergency's over. He surrendered his dictatorship and went back to his plow and his farms. And I think Obama is going to find himself doing similar things in his first term. He's going to have to go in and literally run the place, find the people who can actually run an industry, and then once they're on their feet, take it out of government control.
Without getting into any political flavor, John, I must admit, I was somewhat taken aback with the it's time for change, and then to see all of the political regulars getting choice positions within the department. I was very disappointed to see that. I thought go ahead.
I made a prediction about that in 2008 as well as in this, that in political state, a lot of, I predicted that Obama, once he got into power, would do what all successful presidents have done, and that is rule from the center, a little left or a little right, but always from the center, whether they're Republican or Democrat. He makes the point saying that I'm the change, these are the people who know the scene, and so he surrounded himself with those people. I also was making a prediction last year about how I always saw Hillary Clinton and Obama as a team, I being vice president and president. But even when Obama won, I couldn't shake the vision. The vision was still drumming on my head, saying, "Watch, this team is going to happen." And
you were on my show, John, and you stated to me that you have a vision of two presidents. And how can that be? That was your how can that be? And you were in a quandary with yourself then. And I believe that may have either been, that must have been June of last year.
Yes. Yes. It was like when at that time Hillary Clinton was basically falling back, not going to be given the vice president's. And then thus it happened. So symbols can be misread, but the essence was there. And the essence of change, I think, that Obama is going to bring is him in himself. And it will be proven quite prudent that he picked a cabinet of rivals to do this job.
Yeah.
And I'm actually very hopeful that the people there are equipped to deal with it. That doesn't mean they'll succeed, because the problem is that serious. I talked about 2-year probation. I predicted this recession in the end of 2007.
Yep.
Happening in 2008 as a deep recession. most people were not even considering it being deep. I mean deep, right, almost to just a hair's breadth from depression.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it's happened, and even back then in January of last year, of 2008, I was saying we were on 2-year probation. That was the vision. And we are in still that 2-year probation. If Obama can turn it around and start dealing with the systemic problems of the economy and the society, rather than just beating around the wounds from the surface, then we will slowly, within 8 years, get out of this recession. But if he cannot accomplish this, if he keeps trying to solve the future with the past, then by the autumn of 2010 into early 2011, we will see an economic depression which could be far worse than the 30s. It might look more like Germany after World War I, an inflationary spiral. And we must do what we can to prevent that future from happening, because it's out of that kind of a climate that Hitler's in Germany were born.
I agree 100% on that. John, just hang in there. We're going to do a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we'll continue with John Hogue.
Tonight, in the shadows of the Night Zone, John Hogue of HogueProphecy.com returns with Predictions 2009. From HogueProphecy.com, net, due to airtime scheduling conflicts, this show has been pre-taped. Please do not call. This show was recorded live. John Hogue of HogueProphecy.com returns with Predictions 2009.
The Aquarian Age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean Age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
Welcome to the shadows of the Night Zone.
There's more nonsense out there about this than there is real knowledge, but it is a real phenomenon, and there's quite a few of us. It's been well covered up by all of our governments for the last 6 years or so. But slowly it's leaked out, and some of us are privileged to have been briefed on some of it. I happen to have grown up in this place, Roswell, New Mexico, where presumably the Roswell incident of 1947 took place.
Finding the truth on UFOs, the FTTO UFO chat channel on Paltalk. Check it out.
Well, that was a little different. It's the first time I've heard that promo, and that scared me to death there, I think, John. But the FTTO UFO, Pal Talk Chat Channel, I guess those guys are doing their bit up there. When we went to break, John, you were starting to mention about the industrial complex collapse and the likening to World War One and the rise of the Nazi or rise of Hitler. You said in a prediction, and this is a prediction that you've kind of teased the public with on your website, but you said in a prediction, institutions of our Piscean Age civilization will begin to collapse in 2009, and there will be intense pain caused by their loss. How deep do you think it will go, Doug?
Well, it depends on how much pain is required to awaken a sense of an emergency that requires we go beyond what we know and apply genius and innovation to change, to really change it. The change we can believe in, that started this year has to become the change that we can become. And the difficulty, the pain quotient depends on how much resistance people have from sitting there just lost in their beliefs, which is another way of saying I stand upon ignorance, mm-hmm. and whether they want to apply in the Aquarian Age way an objective, direct experience of what they need to do to change. In Piscean Age, dreaming about change in that very dreamy era was wonderful. But in the Aquarian Age, this is an age of science. This is an age where faith becomes knowing, where seeking and believing becomes experiencing. It's a scientific age. It's where the word in Latin scira comes from. This is the root for science, which means to know. So to know is actually opposite to believing. To know is qualified by direct experience. To believe is, well, it may be true, it may not be true, but I'm going to believe in it. It's ignorance in a very fluffy, nice word. In
right.
Latin. And the pain is going to be from people who hold on to their beliefs at all costs when change is drumming on their head saying, come on, come out of your shell, come in and out of your cage and find new vistas and new ways to solve old problems. The Hopis talk about it because we are in it. That from 2008, we began the purification that the Hopis have predicted. The destruction of the fourth world and the creation of the fifth. And it is a destruction of fire. Now, fire has two elements in this transformation. It is the purification of fire on an unconscious level, which means we don't change and global warming and climate change burns it into us. Or it can be a fire of consciousness that recognizes change needs to happen, not to be believed in, but to happen, and then we go forth. The pain that people will suffer is quantified by how much they resist change. So the more people in the world resist change, the more painful this abandonment of the past will be. For those
like
who change,
it's like a Chinese finger puzzle, isn't it? You know, the more we resist, the tighter the grip. The more we accept and find a new way to get out of that puzzle, the easier it will be for us to get out of.
This is definitely the era of let go rather than clasp on tight, and
right.
It is an era that will foreseeably, in a century's time, bring an end to human immaturity and bring about the glorious era of Homo Novus that has been foretold by a lot of the more modern seers, less known for prophecy, mystics like Osho, Krishnamurti, Gurdjieff, and Adida, who just recently passed on, who were prophets of the new man, the new humanity. And that new humanity, intelligence is the way out of this. We are not reached a level yet. At a certain point, the collective, which is always basically somnambulistic, is basically always a sleepwalking world of the masses.
Right.
They don't get into, the people of the world collectively don't see a collective emergency needing their response until the pain level gets high enough. There were many individuals that saw Hitler coming. In fact, Nostradamus saw him coming 4.5 centuries before he was born. There were many prophets and visionaries that warned people through the 20s and the 30s that the rise of fascism and totalitarianism in the world had to be stopped in its tracks before it got too strong. But they were ignored until the 1939 into 40s when we had to fight World War II. Now, the world finally had enough pain to see that there was an emergency that needed solutions. And then the collective shifted into an incredible, forceful, creative time. What happened then was the arsenal of democracy that in 2 years' time appeared in America once they were in the war. What needs to happen in our near future is that the pain get deep enough for people to collectively understand that they need to create an arsenal of energy independence, an arsenal of ecology, an arsenal of green industrial revolution, a humanitarian industrial complex. And when that happens, the other thing too is that capitalism must understand that it must have a social conscience. There must be a balance between mere Darwinian capitalism is not no longer really going to be the same after what's happened last year with the crashes. Humanity is going to have to find a more conscious, mutually profitable, balanced way of creating wealth than it has used, because the model it's using is essentially unconscious and animalistic, the survival of the fittest, supply and demand, in its pure mindless needs and ebbs and flows. And in that, real people get crushed and destroyed. Now, unfortunately...
I can't remember who the actor is. Wilford Brimley, maybe. No, it's somebody different. But anyway, he used to have a commercial on TV about some mortgage or stockbroker, and he says, "We do it the old-fashioned way. We earn it." And I think that is so true.
Yes, that was the actor who used to work on the Mercury Theater with Orson Welles, and I can't remember his name at the moment. But he had that gravelly voice, and he would.
Maybe it's time. Yeah, maybe it's time to go back to doing it the old-fashioned way and earning what we earn instead of. Go ahead.
We need to go back to the ancient future, and there are many things, strangely enough, in the Aquarian Age, back to the future, as they say. One of them is this. That we have to earn it. We have to have real wealth. And we do not move forward until we have the actual money to pay for it. We used to be a country that was famous for its savings. So these are systemic issues. And the way that any leader of a country is going to turn this around is they have to actually rightly use the very things that got the problem into creation. I talk in the book Predictions for 2009 about the right use of greed. That Gecko's line in the movie Wall Street is more true now than it was before. Greed is good if you know what to make people greedy for. You make them greedy for a healthier lifestyle by making it profitable for them to have it. You make them greedier for a earth-friendly product because it's more affordable than the dirty products. You make them greedy for clean air because if they keep belching out pollution in their industry, they're taxed for it. You make people try to get around the system in a way that tricks them into doing things that are actually going to make the world and their lives happier.
Yeah. And the simplest cost to execute that too, and worry about the consequences down the road. That seems to be our mantra nowadays. We'll do something today, and we'll know it has negative consequences in 20 years, but for now it's the Band-Aid.
Well, and this is where the good leaders that will help people re-educate have to get up again and again in the bully pulpit and remind them that this 1, 2, 3 trillion we go, which is the line I use for Obama's administration, I wouldn't be surprised if he throws $3 trillion at this. This is not, this can no longer, as I predicted in the book Predictions for 2008 last year, that we have now reached the critical mass of our national debt in 2008, where we cannot continue to create a boom based on deficit spending. Up until the Reagan era, all deficits of the United States ended up being paid down. It was around the late 80s and magnified by the Clinton years and then multiplied by the Bush years that we started into this syndrome of we'll keep the boom going. It's more important than actually having the money to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And all got into it. We're all responsible for it, and we're all going to have to find creative ways to take down the value, at least 15. Now the dollar on a lot of things is valued 40 times higher than it really is. we may have to find a sustainability level, and Obama at the end of this year will start looking at price freezes and mortgage freezes. It may very well be that the mortgage industries will have to take the haircut down to the roots and erase a lot of the debts that people have on their homes, because having these millions of people, we may have another 7 million households that will forfeit on their loans because their Alte loans are coming up this year and may jump from a $500 a month to a $1,500 a month payment.
Yeah.
There are almost twice as many people that could lose their homes than last year's subprime loans, and I talk about that in the new book. This is a wave that's coming. The next wave after that is the credit card wave that's coming in the summer. And this may require we just erase the debt, and the creditors will have to just take it in the shorts, you know. And because to have all these people homeless is a social danger.
It's true.
A breakdown of society. Even in my little village where I live, a lot of the storefronts are starting to empty out. People are disappearing. Our only drugstore in town is closing. It's really hitting.
It certainly is. But it's not just the United States. This is becoming worldwide. This is a disease that has got into our greed system that we can't shake.
Indeed, the people outside of America have actually gotten worse in the abuse of this habit than the Americans.
Yeah.
Iceland is one example. England is probably going to have to nationalize its banks. They jokingly call it, in gallows humor, the next Great Iceland, like Great Britain. China is thinking that it can continue its 6% growth by building up a wall economically, like a China wall, and just make and sell products to Chinese only. That means that no matter what positive things the stimulus does, retail prices are going to go higher in America because the Chinese are not exporting cheap goods anymore. So
absolutely.
They're just living within their own means, which is not going to help them and actually creates the problem. I mean, China will have to be part of the major solution. I see a two superpower solution here. China and America have to lead the world out of this. If China goes into isolationism, it will face the kind of stresses that it had in the 1930s. When a sea of peasants overthrew the relatively more wealthy city centers that were run by the nationalists, you might see another Mao Zedong rise out of China.
Oh, my goodness. Let's hope not. John, I have to jump in here. Your book is available on ebook service through hogueprophecy.com, am I correct?
Yes, and it's it's predictions for 2009. You just get into the website. There's at hogueprophecy.com. It's hogueprophecy.com. There's a little thumbnail of the cover. You just click on that, and it will take you to a page that looks at the overview of the book. And from there, you can click to get a PDF file ebook directly loaded to your computer to read.
Fabulous. John, we got to get out of here. I'm getting the flag already. It's been a pleasure, sir.
It's been a pleasure to be on your show again, Colin.
Let's do this again real soon, sir. God bless you, sir. Blessings on your household.
And the same to you.
And that's it. That's all. Another edition of The Night Zone. Hey guys, got a minute? I'm sure we all have friends that are having tough times, either financially or in their marriage or in their general relationships in life. But for the grace of God, go I. Well, I have friends like that. As they look to me for advice, I look to the heavens for some form of divine inspiration so I can please the masses, I guess. And it doesn't always happen. So what I would like to say to you tonight is, if you have friends, embrace them. If you have loved ones, cherish them. If you have acquaintances, respect them. And if you have love, show it. God bless you all.
Looking for a place to chat about UFOs? Well, tonight's After Hours Off the Record party is at Finding the Truth on UFOs, the FTTO UFO chat channel on Paltalk. Check it out. Background music and bumps can be found at GarageBand.com. Support your local artists. For as the lightning comes forth from the east and shines as far as the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man.